إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series on the lessons from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last lesson I mentioned was in terms of his mercy and the rahmah. Today I want to remind myself and you about the outcome of this rahmah, which is forgiveness. Afu. If there is one life in which this is very clearly and visibly available, that we can see, and that's the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the earliest time, even before his prophethood and so on, if you read the seerah, you see many examples of his willingness to forgive everyone who transgressed against his rights. Many of the stories, or all of the stories, and I'm not going to take a long time, briefly, which I will mention here, we are all familiar with. But as I keep saying all the time, just listening to a story is not the purpose of the story. The purpose of the story is for us to put ourselves in that situation and then try to imagine what we would do if that happened to us. One of the most famous stories of the seerah is about this woman who used to throw garbage on him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he walked past her house. Now, and we know the whole story, what she did, and then one day she didn't do it, and he went and inquired and found she was ill and so on. Now, what do we learn from this? See, the issue of forgiveness, there are two requirements. One is that, first of all, there should have been some crime committed or some transgression against you that has to be established. Meaning that if you say that I forgive you, then first of all, I should have done something which needs forgiveness. So if you are forgiving something, the crime has to be established or the offense has to be established. And the second one is that despite the fact, therefore, the offense is established and therefore you had a right to redressal in whichever way, to compensation, you chose not to take that compensation. Instead, you forgave that person. Now, Islam puts a huge value on this, including in the greatest of all, which is the compensation or redressal for murder, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran specifically mentions that if somebody kills another person, then the survivors or the family of the person who was murdered have a right to redressal and a life for a life. They can demand that the murderer should face capital punishment, should be hanged or whatever it is, or they can take money in lieu of that, which is blood money, diya. But if they forgive, then this is the best for them. Now imagine somebody actually killed someone. What is more than that? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even in that case, if you forgive, meaning you don't even take that blood money, you do not even take that compensation which is due to you, not only do you forgive the person and you don't demand a life for a life, you don't even take money, Allah says this is the best for you and Allah will forgive you. And this is reflected in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one incident is this one. The second huge incident is what happened to him in Taif, where the assault and injury to him was not only physical, it was perhaps even more heinously and grievously a psychological assault, a psychological injury to his reputation, to his position, to his maqam, to his waqar. But he forgave all of them. That also brings to view, brings to the fore another aspect, which is that when a person, for example, if I say I forgave somebody, and you might say, well, you forgave them, that's fine, it's good, but in any case, what could you have done? I mean, you had no power. You could not have retaliated. You could not have got any compensation. Maybe even if you went to the system, if you went to a court of law or something, the way those courts work and so on, you may as well give up before you begin. So you had no choice anyway. But when Rasulullah ﷺ forgave the people of Taif, he was given a choice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the malaika, and the malaika said, Jibreel Islam came with the angel of the mountains and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed him under your hukum, give the hukum, whatever you want. So Rasulullah asked him, what can you do? So he said, I can, Taif is a valley, he said, I can join these two mountains together. So no valley, no people, no nothing. Finished. Even the memory of Taif will be finished. Nobody will even know that there was such a town. So Allah had given him that Qudrat to take revenge. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Rasulullah had ordered that, this would not have been something which Allah would be angry about. Because Allah gave him this thing. Which means he had the haqq. He was on the right. He had the right to take revenge, to retaliate. But what was his response? His response was, Allah did not send me to kill people. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send me to kill people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to pass on this message of Islam. And it is my hope and my dua to my Rabb that even if these people do not accept it, then the next generation will accept it. And the final one, and of course there are so many of these, as I said, it's not my purpose to list all the stories, but I'm just taking a couple of highlights. The final one is the forgiveness for the people of Makkah. Once again, crime is established. Did these people do what they were supposed to have done? Did they actually persecute him? Did they persecute his followers? Did they kill his followers? Did they? Yes, to all of these questions. Was Rasulullah ﷺ and were his followers entitled for at least compensation? Okay, fine, we don't kill anybody, but this was my money, this was my land, this was my house. Give it back. He forgave all of them. He did not take any compensation. To the extent that when somebody like Khalid ibn al-Walid and Amr ibn al-As, the two generals of the Quraysh, and Khalid ibn Walid, who is Khalid ibn Walid? Khalid ibn Walid is the son of Walid ibn Mughira, who was the one who died in, who was killed in Badr. And he was the person responsible for the death of not one or two or three, but 70 Sahaba of Rasulullah in Uhud. 70 Sahaba. And among those 70 Sahaba, Khalid ibn Walid was responsible for the death of Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah's uncle and his closest friend and companion, which caused Nabi so much of pain. Yeah? So what does he do when Khalid bin Walid comes to Medina to accept Islam? First of all, when he is informed that Khalid bin Walid is coming, he sends out an announcement to the people of Medina to say nobody will criticize him, nobody will say anything to him when he comes through the town. Who is he saying this to? The families of the people who were killed in Badr, thanks to this man. And when Khalid ibn Walid came, Rasulullah ﷺ stood up. The two instances where Nabi ﷺ is reported to have actually stood up and put his own shawl on the ground to make him sit on it as a position of honor. He did this for Khalid ibn Walid and he did this for Fatima Zahra r.a. So here is your greatest enemy. The man is coming to you. Nabi ﷺ could have ordered him to be killed. He could have need not have done, he could have told, just told him, get out, I don't want to see you. I don't need you. Please understand this. Rasulullah did not accept Khalid ibn Walid because Khalid ibn Walid is a great general. This is the benefit he can do for Islam. This is the Nabi of Allah. This is the Nabi of Allah. If Nabi makes dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the malaika to help him. In any case, Allah sent the malaika to help him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. So he does not need Khalid ibn Walid and his military skills and whatnot, right? So what is the message and what is he teaching people when he is doing this? In the last of them is the person, the actual person who killed Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. Al-Bahshi, radiallahu anhu. Again, long story. I won't mention the whole story. You know the story. But the final point of it, when Wahshi comes, And Mahesh narrated this, Hridayalanu himself, this story. They went to him later on and they asked him, what happened? So he said, I will tell you what I said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he narrated this whole story of how it all happened. And what's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's reaction to him? He accepts Islam and then he tells him, he doesn't say, don't come into my majlis. No, he says, when you come, sit to the side or sit at the back where I can't see you, because when I see you, and he's not saying I don't like your face. No, he says, when I see you, I remember my uncle. Yeah, imagine this. They see the way he says it also. When I see you, I remember Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib and my uncle, so that wound again becomes raw and again I go into that grief. So please. So what is he saying? He is saying, please do me a favor. He is not saying, okay, I forgive you now, get out of my life, I don't want to see your face. No, he is saying, do me a favor. I am the one affected, because when I see you, I remember him. So please sit to a side or somewhere. He doesn't say, don't come into my presence. Don't take the benefit of the company of the Prophet. No. This is the meaning of forgiveness. So forgiveness means that we go beyond our natural, justifiable right. So many times you hear this thing, you say, tell people, why don't you forgive? No, I have done it. करा बोल के माफ करना है तो आप माफ क्या कर रहे हैं फिर सो सो डिड दिस ऑफ कोर्स दैट इज व्हाई यू आर फॉरगिविंग इफ यू डिडंट डू इट हाउ व्हाट वुड यू बी फॉरगिविंग सो फॉरगिवनेस मींस इफ यू आर एंटाइटल्ड टू फॉरगिव इफ यू आर इन दैट पोजीशन अल्लाह हैज गिवन यू दिस पोजीशन वेयर यू से ओके समबडी ट्रांसग्रेस अगेंस्ट मी इफ आई एम फॉरगिविंग देन व्हाट आर यू डूइंग यू आर एक्चुअली डूइंग समथिंग दैट अल्लाह सुभानहू व तआला जल्ला जलालहू डज एंड वी आस्क अल्लाह टू डू इट फॉर अस व्हिच वन ऑफ अस कैन से दैट वी हैव नॉट ट्रांसग्रेस्ड अगेंस्ट द राइट्स ऑफ अल्लाह सुभानहू व तआला. And which one of us can say that I do not need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And again, the same thing is reflected. Crime is established. Allah has the khudrat. Allah has the power to do what He wants. Yet Allah forgives. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. And therefore, I remind myself and you, among the lessons to learn from the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first one is mercy. And the second one is forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be among those who are always forgiving, and we seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself when we meet him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.